purpose of this lesson is to remind you of the love that God has for you. It's based on a scripture found in the book of Psalms, chapter 9, verses 7 through 11, which reads, "The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord, enshrined or enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done." So our purpose then is to remind us that God loves us, that he's never going to leave us, that he always cares for us, that he does what is best for us. So in order to get that idea, we want to look at a cat. You know, a lot of people have cats. They begin as cute little kittens. But they have a nasty habit of growing into big old cats with needs for vet visits and shots and special food and cleaning the litter box and, you know, all those other things that we have to do. So by looking at some facts about cats, we can learn some valuable spiritual lesson. Because like cats, kids also have a way of growing into teenagers and then into adults. And we have to deal with their and our changing needs too. And all the while, God loves us. He doesn't give up on us. So the first thing we want to look at is a lesson of setting limits. You know, people spend a lot of time and money caring for their cats. They love them. They don't want any harm to come to them. So they keep their cat protected indoors. The life expectancy of an outdoor cat is about 3 years. For an indoor cat, it's 15 years or more. So the cat's kept indoors because we care for them. But they sit and they look out the window watching the birds. Their posture suggests that they really want to get outside and explore and chase. But we don't let them go because we're convinced it's not good for them. There are harmful things out there. In the same way, God puts limits on people too. And for the same basic reason, like a good parent, God knows that there are some experiences that we don't need to have. He warns us to stay away from things that are not good for us and that could cause problems for us. Things like greed, for instance, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." You see, God knows that there are some things that we need to avoid because they're going to cause us problems. And so God puts limits on us. We're like there are a lot of people like the cat. They sit and they look outside. They look at the world. They look at people who have all the things and say, "Boy, if I just had that, if I was just doing that, my life would be so much better." But they don't realize that it's going to cause pain and suffering and problems for them. So God sets his limits because he knows what we need. He's not being arbitrary. He's not being mean. He loves us. And his limits improve our lives. So let me give you another example. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." You see, there's a benefit to honoring your parents. You learn how to respect others. You learn how to get along with people. You fare better than those who are just critical and disrespectful and angry all the time. When we honor God's limits, we get the benefit. His limits are in place to protect us and to bless us. God knows what he's doing. He cares for us. And then a second point has to do with fear. Now, cats are often skittish. They jump at loud noises or strange noises. They watch to see if the latest thing that happens is a threat or not. They hide until things are recognized and they feel safe. They want reassurance, rubbing and petting. And a lot of people are like cats in that regard. Many Christians are fearful. They're unsure of their salvation or that God really loves them. When Satan makes a noise or they come to a situation they don't recognize, they want to run and hide. They're afraid that God's mad at them or is ready to catch them in a sin and zap them because they still carry around their old guilt. They don't realize they've been forgiven. They need reassurance. So Paul writes in Romans 8, verses 30 and 31, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies." You see, God reassures us that he's on our side. He reminds us again and again that he loves us. But sometimes we're like the cat hiding under the bed. He has to sort of coax us out, you know, by reminding us, "I know what I'm doing. I care for you. I love you. The things that I have planned for you are for your good." God sent his son to show us how important we are to him. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God wants us to know how important we are. He wants us to know what he was willing to do in order to save us. In 1 John 5, verse 13, John says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." The gospel has been given to us to reassure us of God's love, the forgiveness that he offers, and our salvation, if we accept and obey it. The blood of Jesus is God's assurance. It is God's promise. We don't have to fear what's happening around us. We don't have to listen to Satan's lies about all the things going on and the fear-mongering that various people are trying to push on us. God loves us, and he has promised he'll take care of us. And a third point concerns exercise. You know, when you have a cat that's confined indoors, it needs exercise to stay healthy. They'll chase things, they'll climb on things, they'll run up and down stairs. People buy toys, scratching posts, all kinds of things to keep their cat active. And Christians need exercise as well. That's why God wants us to assemble regularly. He says in Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You see, the way to stay spiritually fit and healthy is to stay active, to encourage each other, to spur one another on, as it says, toward love and good deeds, to stimulate one another, to make sure that we know that God loves us, that he's caring for us, that he's always with us. We need to stay active. We need to stay alert. We need to watch out for the things that Satan tries to throw in our path. There are other ways to stay healthy in exercising. One is we need to exercise our prayer life. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, "Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Notice it says, pray and give thanks. Sometimes we forget to give thanks. Oh, we'll pray and we'll ask God for things, but we forget to thank him for what he's done and continues to do for us. And James 1, verse 22. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." We need to practice what we claim to believe. God provides things for us to do in advance. The scriptures tell us that. He's provided good works for us to do. God has things already laid out. He knows what's coming tomorrow. He's already got things planned for you to do tomorrow. He wants us to exercise our faith. He wants us to trust him. And we have to exercise it if we're going to stay healthy and strong spiritually. If we don't, it's sort of like a person who goes to the gym and sits in the middle of the gym and reads a book on exercise. Not going to do them a whole lot of good. And point four, sometimes a cat gets tired They get frustrated and irritated, and they may use their claws and accidentally scratch us. Yeah, that's the price of interacting with a cat and caring for it. You get an occasional wound. And it's not vicious, it's not fatal, but it still hurts. God must feel the same way about us sometimes. After all he's done for us, we still let him down. We still make mistakes. We still sin. We don't mean to be cruel, but we wound God all the same. 1 John 1, verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. You see, God knows that we're going to scratch him. He knows we're going to wound him. And he says, if you ask for forgiveness, I'll forgive you. Now, some sins may seem small to us, but they cause serious wounds to the holiness of God. He takes all sins seriously. It takes the blood of Jesus to atone for those sins. In 1 John 2, verse 1, we read, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, Satan is always standing there accusing us. The scripture calls him the accuser. He loves to say, did you see what they did, God? Did you see they messed up there? Did you feel that wound? Did you feel that scratch? Jesus stands there and says, Father, I paid the price. He is our advocate. He is our defense lawyer, so to speak. He is the one who speaks for us because he knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to deal with the things we have to deal with. And so he speaks as our advocate. We're probably like the cat in that we hurt God the most when we're tired, when we're not paying attention. So we're told in the scriptures, stay alert. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Notice we are in a spiritual battle. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. We're not fighting people. We're fighting evil ideas. We are fighting evil forces. We are fighting basically Satan and his hordes. It's a battle of the mind and the will. He wants us to do one thing. God tells us to do something else. Who are we going to follow? Who's going to be our master? In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 9. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and hope as a helmet of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to suffer salvation through our Lord, to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have to be alert. We have to be self-controlled. We have to understand what's going on. Satan tries to confuse us all the time. He tries to say, you don't know why this is happening. It's just the way it is. You just have to accept it that way. And God says, no, you don't. Satan is trying to mess things up. I'm the one who's in control, God says. I'm the one who has the plan for you. Trust me, and I'll take care of things. 1 Peter 5. Verses 8 and 9, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. You know, it's a fact of nature that lions and other predators like that go after the weakest ones. They always go after the ones who are tired or sick or have some problems. So he says, be self-controlled and alert. You want to avoid problems from the devil? Notice what's going on. Don't let him sneak up on you. Resist him, Stand firm in the faith. Don't be one of the weak ones. Be one of the strong ones. Now, he's still going to attack. He's still going to try to cause you problems, but it will be less if you resist him. You know, God loves us. He bought us back from the penalty of sin with the blood of his Son. The Bible calls it redeemed us. Redeemed means he bought us back. We belong to somebody else. We belong to Satan. We belong to the world. We were like everybody else, but God changed us. He bought us back. He redeemed us by the blood of Jesus, and he keeps us safe. Our goal must be to not repay those blessings with wounds. Hebrews 10, verse 26, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received a knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? You see, when we become a Christian, we have the responsibility to remain faithful, to live the way God wants us to live, to make the effort not to wound him, not to sin, not to do things against his will. If we deliberately keep on doing it, if we know better and we do it anyway, his blood doesn't cover that, the scripture tells us, and we're going to have to pay the price ourselves for it. That's why we're told over and over again, be self-controlled, be alert, notice what's going on around you. Yes, God loves you, but he still holds us responsible for what we do. You know, many households are organized around a cat. Yet what matters most in life is not a cat, or even who wins the Super Bowl today. What matters most in life is what God has done to save you and keep you saved. Unlike the cat, you have an eternal soul, and we need to decide, where are we with our soul? You have a soul that God wants to save. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, we need to be implored. We need to be coaxed out from under the bed like the cat. We need to be reminded that God loves us. We need to be reminded that he died for us, that he paid the price so that we could be forgiven. Peter is preaching on Pentecost, and he tells the people, God sent the Messiah. He sent the one to save you, and you killed him. And the people said, what should we do? Peter replied, Acts 2:37, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. What will you do this morning? Will you come to God, believe in his Son Jesus, accept the limits for your life so that it'll be richer and fuller? Because he loves you and he knows what we need and he knows what's best for us. Will you repent of your sins and trust his assurance of love for you? Will you confess Jesus as Lord and exercise your faith in him with worship and good deeds? Will you be baptized to wash away your sins and live faithfully? Praying, remembering that God loves you, trying to live for him day by day, avoiding sins that wound him. Will you come to God through his Son, Jesus? You see, some people say, well, I've just messed up so bad. I've done so many things wrong, I'm not sure God could ever forgive me. That question was asked a long time ago. Will God forgive you? And Jesus answered it with a nail and a cross. At this time, we offer the invitation as we stand together and sing our invitation song.